I really like that. That was a really cool thing that we found on the web. You can, and if you don't know this, you can go on. You can make your own intro to the Stranger Things series. We're not that technologically advanced where we created that ourselves. You go on this website, and I'll show you the website. It's really cool. You go on the website, and you put all the information, you put all the subtitles in, and you can have your own personal Stranger Things bumper video. All right, you're welcome. There you go. You can go get that, put it all on the webs for yourself and for your family and all that. But it was a lot of fun. I was super impressed by that. When I found that, Hannah and I got giddy. We're like, this is so cool. So now we feel like we're a part of the Stranger Things TV show. So we're beginning our new series, Stranger Things. And we're really excited about it because, one, we like Stranger Things, and also we like Halloween. So if it's October, everybody knows it's Halloween time. Everybody starts prepping and getting ready for Halloween. They get their costumes ready. Some of you are intense. Some of you start like a month ago getting your costumes ready, getting, you know, going on Pinterest, finding out what's the coolest, you know, pop culture thing in the moment, and we'll make a costume to go to all the Halloween parties and get-togethers. And so in some churches, actually, they're afraid of Halloween, and, you know, given there is some people who make it for evil, but the majority of people, it's just a reason to come together, put on fun costumes, you know, hang out with your neighbors, a good way to get to know your neighbors, and then, of course, have some wonderful candy, have some of that, some of those simple carbohydrates pumping into your body and into your kids, have some candy. And some of you, it's okay. If you're an adult, you still trick-or-treat. That's okay. That's okay. You know, we all like candy. I mean, what's wrong with that? And just don't expect to get as much as the kids, you know. And you might get some weird looks, but that's okay. That might just be your costume if you're going as, you know, a minion or something as an adult. That's a big minion. So it's with a lot of fun. We just like to get together. And so Village Heights, we like to have fun. And so what we're doing is we're going to wrap arms around it, and we're going to take it, and we're going to enjoy it, the season of what it is, just to get together and knowing our neighbors. So Stranger Things, so the TV show. And if you have never seen the TV show, it's basically a fun, spooky, family-friendly show that is back. It's staged back in the 1980s. So, like, everything's, like, real retro, you know, you got Galactica and all, Pac-Man, all, and that kind of stuff is in it. And so it's really cool, nostalgic to watch it, you know, because that's a lot of the stuff that I enjoyed as a kid was that kind of era. And so it's fun to watch it and see how it comes out because, you know, like, because nowadays, like, the stuff that they go through, you'd be like, why didn't they just send a text? You know, why didn't they just Facebook Live the monster? Because then everybody would know, right? But they didn't have that back then. So they had to do it the hard way. And so that's what adds to the mystery. And so there's a mysterious government agency that's trying to do a cover-up on what they have found. There is a scary faceless monster that can move through solid walls. You see, when you were a kid, you thought the blanket would save you, right? They ain't gonna save you from this monster, all right? So, because it can go through walls, okay? Scary, faceless monster. And then finally, there's this creepy dimension called the upside down. It's the opposite of what they know, the upside down. So it's a lot of fun, but I don't see it as a scary story. That's not what I see it as. That's what, you know, they want it to be viewed as, but I see it as a rescue story. I see it as someone that was in trouble. So you got this mom, this awesome mom who's, you know, a little eccentric and has fun with her kids, and she cares a lot about them, right? And then you have this deputy, this guy that's, you know, he's rough around the edges, but he's really good at what he does, and he's encountered this situation. And then you got four kids, courageous kids that do everything together, and three of them are working to find their lost friend, and they'll do anything of what they have to do to get to their friend. So, and all these people are putting themselves in harm's way to save the child named Will. They're all out to save the child that's been lost, who's in the upside down place, and they're trying to figure out, and they're putting their lives on the line, and they're putting themselves in harm's way and out of comfort because they're searching everywhere for Will because he's lost. So it's a rescue story. And the cool thing is that the mom ends up communicating with the kid through the lights. Through the lights, she begins to communicate, and it blinks and it comes on, and then she knows that she's talking to her child. And if you haven't seen it, and this is getting you excited, you should. It's really good. I think when Hannah and I first came upon it, we heard about it. Some friends were like, oh, you gotta watch it. You know, but everybody says that. And we're like, okay, let's give this a shot. Right? Don't judge us, okay? This was after a Sunday. So we finished on a Sunday, and we went home, and it's like about 1 o'clock. And, you know, the kids are tired. They're taking a nap, and Hannah's like, oh, let's relax. Let's watch something, right? And so we turned on Stranger Things. We didn't go to bed until 1 in the morning, and we finished the whole thing in one sitting. Don't judge me, okay? It's really good. You don't understand. So if you haven't seen it, you should go see it. It's very, very good. And then, of course, there's this character there that comes into the show that has extraordinary abilities and gets connected to the ones that are trying to find the lost. And because of these extraordinary abilities, they're able to do things that are beyond themselves and be able to help find their friend. And there's, of course, a town full of different people that are beginning to notice that people are missing. And they're all trying to figure out, where did they go? But they're lacking information, and they're misguided. So some of their efforts might mean well, but they're not doing it right. And they're actually hurting in the situation. You got to have the right information. So all that comes together, and they're making misguided and rash decisions because of it. So all that comes together, what makes a really awesome show that we love to binge watch. So as Christ followers, we actually binge on something. And I know this is going to sound funny, but hear me out. We actually binge on the Bible. As Christ followers, we binge on the Bible. And you're like, oh, that's so cliche. Why would you say that? And I was like, well, think about it. Every week, we come together and we talk about what? The Bible. And then you go home, hopefully, and reading the Bible on your own. You're going through devotionals, and you're reading about Jesus, because there's just so much to it, and you're binging on it. And then we come together at Villages. We come together during the week to then analyze more, to binge more on the Scripture, because it's just so interesting, and it just is so meaningful and purposeful. So we totally want to devour as much as we can. We want to get it all in as quick as possible. So, we do this because 2,000 years ago, some stranger things happened. Some things happened in the Bible that were strange, very strange. I mean, and as you read the Bible, as you binge on it more, you begin to realize the Bible is not meant to be scary, because there are some scary things that happen in Scripture, and we read it, and it kind of spooks us, okay? But the Bible is a rescue story. It's about a rescuing that happens. It's about a lost people, about a lost person, you and me, and we're being rescued. Because God loves us so much that he sent his son, who has extraordinary abilities, to come save us, to come rescue us, to search for us. And so because of these strange things we see in Scripture, it makes us go, why would this happen? Let's delve more into this. Let's figure out, let's binge on Scripture, and that's a good thing. If you've got that bug, you've got that curiosity, that's a great thing, because the more you binge, the more you can understand. The more that you can understand, the more you can apply what is there. And you begin to realize that you are a part of this rescue story. This story you actually get to live in. This story you actually get to be a part of. And it's the greatest rescue story that this world has ever known. So because there's someone that is lost, which is me, and is you, and us, Jesus is looking for you, for me, for us, constantly, because he values what is lost. They wanted to look for Will, the lost boy. The mother wanted to look for, the deputy wanted to look for the lost boy because he was valued. And in the beginning of the movie, at the beginning of the TV show, you're watching it and you begin to understand the character and how sweet he is and how nice he is. Then you begin to value that little boy. And so then you're like, yes, find him, help him. As Jesus gets to know you, I mean, even before he born, he valued you. But even more so, as you've grown through the years and you've developed, Jesus values you even more and more and more. He will never stop loving you. And I know this because we find this in Scripture. Luke, if you if you turn to it in your app, or if you have the physical version, the old school version, in Luke 19:10, it'll be up on the screens. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." It didn't put a caveat. It didn't say only this group of people who are lost, only from this side of the world, only this color, only people born of this blood. No, he came to seek and save the lost, and that is everybody. You are a part of that. Jesus cares about you. Jesus is all about the lost. Because though we are lost, we are loved. And there's no doubt about that. And you can tell how much a person loves something, right? If you have something in your life that is tangible, whatever it may be, you can really tell how much you love it, because when you lose it, you have a reaction. This is a good test. So if you're dating, or you have a spouse or whatever it may be, or a friend, if you want to see how much they love something, make it disappear for a second, okay? It's Halloween. We can do the little tricks, play little games. Make it disappear and see how they react. That will help you gauge how much they love whatever that is. I mean, I'm a gamer. I like playing games. If I lost my Xbox, guys, it would not be good, okay? If I lost that. My wife loves to design. She loves Photoshop. She loves all of that. She's attached to her computer. And if I made her computer disappear, whoo, man, it would not be a good day. She'd be searching and searching. And there's these things, and I'm embellishing, of course. But even when it comes to people, you can tell how much somebody is loved because of their funerals. At the end of life, when they are gone and people have lost them, you can see how much they are loved because of how people react. Have you ever been in the situation where, if you have kids, and I've been in this, because I have, you could tell during worship, I have a wild one, all right? Got an energetic one in my hands. He likes to run. He likes a lot of energy. He might explode if I hold him still for too long. He might combust, too much energy inside of him. So when we go somewhere, and especially when he didn't really understand, he was little, when we would go to the store and stuff like that, man, he would take off. He would run. We contemplated the kid leash, right? And we're like, that's why they made kid leashes. It's because of you, son, because you run everywhere, right? And so there's times when Hannah and I, we see two parents on one, and we'll go, where did he go? And your heart drops immediately, and you begin to understand how much you miss them, because even in that short moment, if you don't know where they are, they feel lost. You would be willing, I mean, Hannah would bust through whole aisles, the Kool-Aid man. Gage, where are you? She'd be taking people down, questioning people, interrogating, where is he? And she would, because she loves, and I love my son too. I do the same thing, because you would do anything for your kids because you love them so, so much. The same thing with Jesus. Jesus would do anything for you, because you're lost, because we've been separated because of sin from our Father. Jesus wants to find you, and he'll do anything, and he did do anything. He did the worst thing upon himself to make this happen. See, when you have creativity, things seem strange, right? So you're used to the normal thing, the thing that, that's always in your life, and then you have some creativity in your life. He's like, let's change something. When you change something, it looks strange. Like if you get a different haircut or something, like someone might look at you and go, oh, that's a little strange, because it's different. Different seems strange. And so when Jesus came along, because we were so lost, he had to get really creative in how he saved us and how he found us. And so he had to be very creative. And so because he was so creative, this world saw it as super strange. When he hit the scene, he is not what people expected. They were like, this dude, I don't know what he's smoking. I don't know what he's on, but he is not who we think he should be. So then we are going to treat him differently. So he was literally, 2,000 years ago, he was a stranger thing. He was this creature that came and spoke in a weird way, and spoke in parables, and did things, made stuff happen. He was just strange. And so because of that, it made it hard for people to understand. But to have the ability to be creative That's what he needed. And so when it comes to us, and when we create these series and we do all this stuff, we use creativity, right? And we use creativity at Village Heights. We use creativity to reach out to people, to reach this community. We don't do things. Sometimes we're a little weird to people. We're a little strange because we don't operate in the way that most people think a church should operate. We don't do the things that they're expecting because if we wanted just other Christians to come, just to pile it up in here, have a meeting of the saints, we could do that because all we would have to do is just give them exactly what they like and what they know. But we want to find the lost because Jesus is about the lost, and so we are creative in what we do. So Jesus' creativity was different. And since we were lost, he had to be creative. He had to do stranger things to save us. And so there's this moment in Scripture, right? I mean, throughout, we could look throughout Scripture, all sorts of strange things, but there's, in this series, we're going to focus on one moment in Scripture, and I call this the pinnacle, right? So when you're watching a movie or a series, there's this pinnacle moment where you have these characters that are very powerful and very meaningful to the storyline. They meet, and they come together. So towards the end of the series of Stranger Things, the one that has the gifts that's from, we don't know from where, and then the government agencies, and the boys, and the mother, and the deputy, they all come together, and they have these moments where it's like, this will hinge. Where this turning point, wherever happens here, this is going to shape the rest of the show, the rest of the series. So those are important moments that we want to focus in on. So there's this specific moment in Scripture that we're about to look at that's going to be throughout the whole series that we're doing. And we're going to analyze this Scripture because it is jammed packed. And this Scripture is John 18, 33 through 40. So in this moment of Scripture, we find Jesus had already done, you know, his ministry. He'd been traveled all the lands and is coming to the pinnacle. He is now an important person that either is loved or hated in extreme fashion, right? And now he's meeting these important people. And you, when you read in Scripture, you go past this moment, oh, that's great, but we don't realize just how important this message is, that these two very important characters and this storyline collide. And so we're going to read it through. So this is after, and they've already arrested Jesus. They already have him. And this is his conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And it says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered. So Jesus is locked up. Pilate just walked in and goes, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you this guy?" Right? So Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this about me?" So he's questioning, he's wondering, what's your motives? Where are you coming from? Let me understand what's in your head. So are you saying this on your own accord? Do you think that I'm the king of the Jews, or is this what people have told you? So Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" He's like, how am I supposed to know? If you're the king of the Jews, you tell me. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. He's like, man, you are separate from me, but they have given you to me. And I love this. What have you done? I love that he asked him that. He's like, what did you do to get yourself in this position? Because, man, you're not even in the same nation as me, but they've given you to me. What did you do that was so bad, that was so wrong, that was so appalling that they didn't even want to deal with you, that they sent you over to me? What did you even do? I can imagine his head. There was a smirk on his face. Continue on. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." So you can imagine Pilate in this moment is like, "Brr, what? What did that even mean?" It's cryptic. And in those moments in series or storylines, like, there's like, this dude has loaded information, and you've asked him a loaded question, and so he's trying to paraphrase it for you in the moment, and it just makes it even more confusing. So I'll read that one more time. Catch everything that I'm saying. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. They might have not delivered me over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you're a king?" He's like, I got something out of you. Out of all of that, that's what he heard. So you're a king? That's all he could gather from that. Then Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth listens to my voice. He's making some bold, bold statements right here. Everyone who listens, who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, then what is the truth? Man, it's like bait and switch. Then what is the truth? Okay, you say that you're a king, great. Then now you're saying, if I listen to the truth, so what is the truth? Then after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So in this series of scripture, man, this is like a sardine can of loaded questions and coming in. And these two big characters are colliding. This was a hinging point to the story of Jesus and what he needed to do. Because based on what Pilate did, it could change everything. All right, it could change everything. So, because of that, that's what we're going to do. Throughout this series, we're going to unpack this. And so I'm going to summarize. We're going to look at the big picture of it today, but throughout the series, we're going to unpack this portion of Scripture because it's simple, but it's complex. But this strange rescue story is huge. And this moment is huge. It's the greatest, best, Stranger Thing rescue story ever recorded in history in this pinnacle moment. Because Pilate was no fool, all right? Pilate was no fool. He was a very powerful man, and he got there for a reason. And he's analyzing this situation, and he's going, okay, this doesn't make sense. You say that you're the king, okay, but you're not the king of the Jews. Your kingdom's not of this kingdom. What is the truth? And he goes back, and he tries to reason with the Jews, and he goes, do you want your king back? I don't understand. And so it's all strange to everybody in this moment, and all this strange pinnacle. And so Jesus definitely was not the stranger that they were expecting. The stranger that would come, the Messiah that would come. And so because of that, he was too strange. But the strangeness was necessary for this moment. Because you might not know this, but in this moment, in Jewish custom, how it worked out is, so if he was crucified by the Jews, then he would have been stoned. He would have been thrown down and stoned to death. But if he was crucified and killed by the Romans, then he would have been hung on a cross for everyone to see. You see, there's purpose. There's purpose in this story. There's purpose in the creativity at Jesus. And we're going to unpack that through this series. But there's two things that I want you to leave with today, right? And so if you have your pen and paper, this is the moment to take down these notes. We're going to go through these real quick. So these two things. The first thing is the one we need is not always the one that we expect. The one we need is not always the one that we expect. And so because it's Halloween, I feel like I have the liberty to do this. It's in pop culture. We're talking about it. Who's a fan of Batman, right? Who's a fan of Batman? You should all be fans of Batman because Batman's awesome, all right? He's awesome. Okay, and if you've watched the previous movies or followed any Batman storyline, I say it's funny that I think about it because if you don't know Ryan Beatty's a friend of mine. He tells Gage his name is Batman. And so when Gage sees him, it's Batman, right? So Batman's in my life. But Batman in the series, he learned that they need a hero, but I can't be the hero that they want. Because if I be the hero that they want, I will never conquer the evil that needs to be conquered. See where I'm going with this. Jesus knew this. And so like Batman had to be creative, like any had to be out of the box, not what they expected, Jesus also had to be out of the box and not what they expected. He had to use his creativity to do that. Because if he didn't, it wouldn't have worked. And I'm going to read this portion of scripture again and listen to it closely. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world. He keeps saying his kingdom, his kingdom. He's saying in past tense, meaning it was already established. He's telling them, he's revealing something right there. He's saying, you don't understand this, but this already exists. There's something already in play. So the truth is, Christ is not the strange one. We are. Humans were the strange ones because we veered off the path from what we were created to be. We were so off. We were so off than what we were created to be that when Christ came to do what he had to do, he was seen as the strangest thing. But it was actually in reverse. Because we were so strange, he had to do what he had to do. It was so off. And he had to do it in such an extreme way because that was what was necessary to make it work. The stranger thing was that we didn't understand who he was. And we didn't truly understand our God and our relationship with him because we expect Christ to operate in the way that best serves us. We expect God to be a sugar daddy. We expect him to say, Lord, I did my part. Now give me all my blessings. Lord, why me? Have you ever said that? Why me, Lord? That's because you're expecting God and you're expecting Jesus to be something that makes you comfortable. But he's not the Savior that's going to make you comfortable. He's the Savior that's going to help you be where you need to be. He's going to come help you elevate you to the point where you need to be so that you can be saved. Just like in the story, these kids, this girl with the special gifts, she had to be something different. She had to be able to see in a different way so they could elevate this kid, so they could find him. It's the same for us. We were so lost. We were so lost that he had to do this outrageous thing to find us because he loves us that much. So, Jesus is not the one we need is not always the one that we expect. So the second thing is the kingdom is not of this world. Everybody ever, I mean, we've all been on diets, we've been on workout plans, we've all redid our homes, reorganized our lives, bought a new car and had to take all the things from the old car and put it back. You know, and when you do this, you realign things, right? You look at it and say, okay, I got to take this out. I can put this in. If you're dieting, I got to take this out of my diet. I got to put this in. You're realigning yourself. When you're working out, you're like, okay, I got to stop doing these things and I got to do these things. And you do all this stuff to realign yourself to make yourself better, right? To make yourself more efficient. But when you're doing these things and realigning yourself, what makes it so difficult to do because it's not what's normal to you. It's not what your body expects. So it's strange. It feels weird. And so because it feels weird, you're less likely to do it, which is what, you know, people that train people, they hope for, you know, kind of, they wouldn't have a job if you didn't think these things were weird, if it wasn't difficult to do. So when you're trying to reorganize and realign your life, it becomes difficult. So Christ followers, true Christ followers who binge on the scripture and read it, and take it to heart, they do strange things. You do strange things. To the world outside of you, you do strange things. Because when you read the scripture and you follow his teachings, you treat relationships differently. You treat money differently. You treat sex differently. You treat your job differently. You do your possessions, you treat differently. The power that you have in people's lives, your influence, you treat that differently. Because you're a Christ follower, you treat things differently. You become strange. You begin to look different. We become the stranger thing in the eyes of everyone who is not a Christ follower. And so if you are a believer and you're a Christ follower and you feel weird when you're outside, when you're around people who are not Christ followers, you feel strange, you're doing it right, okay? You're doing good, all right? You're on the right path. But because aligning ourselves with the Creator can feel strange because it's against our sinful nature, it's hard to do, right? You want to go back to what's normal, and so it's difficult. And so what I'm telling you today is, since you are a Christ follower and you are adopted into the family, into the fold of Christ, You are different. You are not of this world. Your kingdom is not of this world. So if you're fighting to be normal in the world and be a Christ follower, you're going to lose that battle, okay? Because you're never going to be normal to this world. Just like Jesus was trying to help Pilate understand that you're not going to get me, bro, because I'm not, my kingdom is not of this world. You're not going to understand me. And so the things had to carry out. So as we grow and develop into the image of Christ, it might make you feel strange in comparison to others, but you are on the right track. Truth be told, and truth is, you're actually aligning yourself to how you were created to be. How you were created to be, how humans were created to be. When you follow the scriptures and follow Jesus' teaching, you are actually aligning your life. And the beauty of it is, as you do this, as you binge on scripture, you embrace the strange, life begins to click. Your money serves you differently, and you'll have probably more of it, more riches, because you're treating it as Christ has told us to treat it. Your relationships will be different. They'll be more beautiful and more meaningful because you're treating it in the way that Christ has told us. You're seeing it through his lens. Your job, your influence, your power will mean so much more to you, and you'll do so much more with it because you're treating it in the way that the Creator meant for you to treat it as you realign. So if you feel strange, you're on the right path. All right, so closing up today, this is my action step for you guys, okay? You ready? This is my action step. So take all that I just said. This is what I want you to do with it this week. And we're going to talk about this on Wednesday. So do this before Wednesday, please. So on Wednesday at Villages, we're going to talk about it. This is what I want you to do. That thing in Scripture, that thing that you've been reading about, and whether it's like things that we talked about in past series, whether it's pride or money or your relationships, that thing that's very strange to you that Jesus asked you to do, and it's very difficult for you to do, I want you to pinpoint what that is. I want you to figure out what it is. If you have to go back and think about your interactions, whatever it be, that thing that's difficult, that if you did it outside in the world, you would feel strange. Figure out that is. And what I want you to do with it is practice it. I want you to try it. I want you to do it more. Because the more you do it, the less strange that it feels. And it feels less strange because you see how it will work in your life. So that's my action step for you guys. Figure out what that strange thing is in Scripture and practice it. Do it before Wednesday, because then we get to talk about it. We're going to share what these things are in our life. We're going to share, if you're willing, we'll share what it is so that we can learn from one another and realize we're not as strange as we thought. As Christ followers, we're not as strange as we thought. Everybody goes through these things. So figure out what that is and practice it. And as you align yourself with Christ, your body, mind, and soul will begin to align. And all these things that you learn from Scripture that feel strange begin to feel right. And then others will see that. And they'll go, man, I want what you have. And they'll go, this is going to feel strange, but I want you to give it a try. Ball rolls and it rolls. So thank you guys for being here today. I'm so excited about this series of Stranger Things. We're going to be looking at more in this passage. We're going to be talking about character flaws. We're going to talk about the characters in your life. We're going to talk about the costumes that we wear, the positions that we play in our story, and then so on from there. I'm going to pray, and you guys will be dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus, so much for being willing to be the stranger to this world, to be the hero that we didn't know that we needed, the hero that we didn't expect. Thank you so much. Thank you for going and loving us so much and wanting to find us so badly that you were willing to give your life for us, the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, as we develop as Christ followers, as we go forward, I pray that the things that feel strange, Lord, will feel like home, and that we will embrace your teachings, as we binge on the scriptures, as we learn and more about you and more about your story, then we can apply it so that we can align our lives, so that we can be in harmony, mind, body, and soul. Lord, thank you so much for your sacrifice, and thank you for letting us be a part of this rescue story. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. Amen.